Today's scripture reading is from Luke 1, 57 through 79, the birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it and asking, when then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." This is the word of God for the people of God. I'm sorry, I skipped the last part.
You see it?
Okay, wait a minute.
We're good, Barb. Thank you.
There are too many papers up here that have other stuff on. Okay, let's try this again.
Okay, I'll sit back down.
Beginning with verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our Lord, of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the dark shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Now, this is the word of God for the people of God.
God. It's not enough to stand up there and have to read the scripture, but then we put a whole bunch of papers up there just to mess with whoever's going up there, you know. So, Barb, good job. I noticed that when Elizabeth in there, there's a passage where Elizabeth says, "No." Did you hear how well she emphasized that? Like from her own mother's heart, "No. That's not what we're going to do." Almost like Barb had done that before. How it felt to me. Well, we're currently in a sermon and a book study in our Sunday school classes, our Wednesday groups, named Prepare the Way for the Lord by Adam Hamilton, who's a pastor out of Leawood, Kansas, very large Methodist church. He does lots of writing, lots of studies. This is how we are getting spiritually prepared for the season of Advent. Advent is a season of preparation before the celebration of Christmas. It's how we as Christians get our internal world ready as well as our external, right? And so a lot of what we do for the secular season of Christmas is really external stuff that we're all participating on with our culture, which is fine, right? Because we're getting ready for Christmas, so we're buying gifts and we're wrapping them and we're sending them, we're getting them under the tree, we're putting up decorations. I got the outside lights up this week. I'm not going to tell you how much I paid for them at Lowe's because it was too much, but it's what my wife wanted. So what do you do, right, Barb? What do? You do it because she said to do it. So we're getting all those things ready, parties, you know, different gatherings, you're sending out invitation, you're sending Christmas cards, you're doing those things. So those are the external things that everyone, church people and people outside the church included, are doing. Now, we in the season of Advent are choosing to get our internal world ready for the coming of Christmas in the season of Advent through worship and prayer and scripture reading. And the other thing that's happening is we're creating some expectancy in here. Like you should begin to feel this feeling of excitement and expectancy. We expect to see God work in powerful ways in our lives because 2,000 years ago, the Son of God was born into this world, Jesus the Christ. And this Advent season, we're getting ready for Christmas through the biblical character known as John the Baptist, which was splashed up there a little bit about John the Baptist that we heard about in our scripture reading. And so I hope during this season of Advent, you expect to see God work graciously in your life. You're going to see him work graciously. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's our theme. God is gracious. Advent is a reminder of God's desire to be graceful to all of his children. Do you remember being a child and having a great expectation during the month of December? Right? You remember that. And some of you are like, oh yeah, it was just yesterday. And some of you are like, yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah, it was a little while ago. Your expectations when we were a child, and probably for some of you here, the children that are with us this morning, those expectations just kind of increase and increase and increase as we get closer and closer to Christmas Day. What will be under the tree? Right? You remember thinking that. What's going to be there? Something good, I hope. Something that I want, I hope. Some of you lived in homes where every year, just about every year, your expectations were met. Those things that you told mom and dad to pass on to Santa that might arrive, you lived in a home where you woke up Christmas morning, you unwrapped, and expectations were primarily met. Except for those of you that were like, I want a pony. And I got one of those at home too. Now, some of you got ponies, right? But many, many of you desired ponies and didn't get ponies. You learned that it was good. Those of you that grew up in those households, you learned that it was good to have great expectations because your expectations were oftentimes met on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. Some of you opened gifts on Christmas Eve, I know. So one of those two times. Some of you grew up in homes where you next to never got the things that you hoped for. You next to never got the things that you anticipated being there on Christmas morning. You had expectations that were never met. And so you learned, consequentially, not to have expectations and to bring those expectations down of what was going to happen on Christmas. Today, I want to encourage you to have great expectations that God is going to move graciously in your life. God, your Father, He is going to move graciously in your life. It will benefit you to be like the child who learned to have expectations because on Christmas Day, expectations, they were always met. But now, you're an adult. Most of you are adults. Those of you who are children, you're not adults yet. You're children, just to clarify, the adults are adults, right? And being an adult means that receiving goodness in your life, receiving grace in your life, does not come with the click of a button on Amazon, right? It is not what UPS drops off at your door and that you get to wrap. Hopefully, as an adult, you've kind of learned that there are more valuable things to life than those things that come in boxes. Being an adult means you find greater joy, hopefully, in your relationships that you have and in the experiences that you're having. And oftentimes in the simpler things of life that as a child you just overlooked. Just mom and dad did all those things or didn't do all those things, possibly. But the simpler things in life are oftentimes the greatest things in life. You are an adult now, except for the kids. You're not adults yet. But the adults, you are adults now, but you will always be God's child. You will always be God's son. You will always be God's daughter. And he is going to find ways to gift you with grace, is his plans. So what I need you to do is I need you to keep your eyes open. I need you to be looking for those gifts when they come to you. Because in this day and age, we are children of plenty. We have more these days than any of our family people had before us. We have a great deal of things. We have become a bit spoiled, you might say, in the things that we desire and that we get and that we have. So what I want you to do is I want you to be careful this Advent season. I want you to be careful that you aren't sleeping right now. Especially during my sermon, please don't be sleeping. Some of you warned me that you're going to sleep during my sermon. I see you scratching your head back there, for those of you that kind of warned me that you're going to sleep. But not just during the sermon. Please don't sleep during the sermon. But please don't sleep to what God is working in your life right now. Please don't be asleep to God's grace that is active in your life. In our scripture lesson today, you could say that Zechariah was actually caught sleeping. He was caught kind of not fully with it. We didn't read this passage. I'm getting ready to reference. But earlier in Luke, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he's offering incense in the temple, and something amazing happens. And this is what we talked about last week. If you remember last week, if you were here, an angel of the Lord shows up to Zechariah, and he says to Zechariah, "The Lord has heard your prayers. He has heard your prayers. You and your wife will become pregnant with a son, and you will name him John." Which was a bit startling because, I mean, for many reasons, but also because Zechariah and Elizabeth were likely in their 60s when this happened. They were older. And they had wanted a child their whole lives. And there was that season when a child would have been expected. But the child never came. They prayed. They asked their friends to pray. They all prayed. And then they got past that age. And they had fallen asleep to the idea of ever having a child when they became older. Just didn't seem like an option. And that's fair. We're all the same way, right? We get to a certain point. We think, I mean, I've had friends and family members who got in their 40s and thought, well, yeah, we're past that age. And then, boom, lo and behold, baby. So, you know, it can happen, but it's very unlikely. We had one more verse last week. We read a little bit further last week. Where we stopped last week, the next verse, had we read it, says this. It's between our two passages from this week and last week. It says, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? This whole baby thing, my wife getting pregnant, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Guys, did you catch what he said there? He said, "I'm an old man, but my wife, she's just along in years." That was very smart. He's obviously been married for a while. Didn't call his wife old. Said, "I'm old." But Zechariah, he wants assurances. He wants assurances. After all, he had hoped his entire life. He had prayed his entire life. And all of those prayers, all of those expectations fell short, and he felt let down a little bit because of that. Now an angel shows up, offers what is really impossible at this point in his life. But with God, as it turns out, very few things are impossible. So the angel's actually becomes a little perturbed that Zechariah wants assurances from God. He gets a little upset about this. And so the angel, in his anger, takes away Zechariah's ability to speak, makes him mute in that moment, right? And so for 9 months, during Elizabeth's entire pregnancy, Zechariah is unable to speak a word, which might have been a real gift to Elizabeth. Scripture doesn't say that, but maybe she was like, "Thank you, God." You know, it's really nice. But finally, the day comes, right? She's pregnant, 9 months. Elizabeth gives birth to her miracle, her little baby boy. God's grace and his promise delivered for all the world to see. See this miracle. See this thing that's happened. And she names the baby John. John, because that's what the Lord commanded Zechariah to name the child, and he had somehow passed that on to Elizabeth. And soon the family questions this, right? The family questions it because it was proper in those days that if it's a son, the son receives a name of the father or a grandfather or a great-grandfather, some other man in the lineage, and John was not a name within their lineage. And so Zechariah writes out to the family, yes, his name is to be John. And as soon as he writes that out, his voice is freed. His ability to speak comes back, and he begins to speak for the first time in 9 months. And Elizabeth is thinking, why, God, why? But he does it anyways. And he begins to speak, and having received his voice, the Holy Spirit falls upon him, and Zechariah sings a new song. It's not just a song, it's a prophecy. It's a prophetic message of celebration of God's graciousness to Elizabeth, to Zechariah, but not just to them, to all the Jewish people. This child is a gift to all the Jewish people. And the name John in Hebrew means Johanan. And Johanan in Hebrew means the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. And this would be the message that John the Baptist would pass on to all the people of Israel. People, the Lord is gracious and kind. Repent of your sins and prepare the way for the Lord. He is coming. Today, can you agree with me that the Lord is gracious? Is he gracious? Yes. Have you come to expect him to provide you with gifts of grace as his child? Are you expecting that? Or have you lowered your expectations? Have you lowered them? Do you believe yourself to be the child whose Christmas expectations always go unmet? I have good news for you. You're not a child anymore. I mean, except for those of you that are children, you're still children. Adults, not children anymore. Have you realized yet that when you expect, when you have an expectation in your life to see the bad and the unfortunate and the unhappy in your life, that's what you will find. If you're seeking it, if you're looking for it, that's what you're going to find in your future. And likewise, if you expect to be met in each new day by God's grace and his abundance and his love in your life, then that's what you will find. Our board met yesterday and planned, and our token verse for the morning was ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock, and you will find what it is you are looking for. One of the ways that I'm preparing myself for the celebration of Christmas is through daily prayer. Daily prayer. And even though I'm a pastor, even though, you know, Marcia and I, we become pretty good at the spontaneous prayer thing, being able to just kind of do that when somebody says, Pastor, would you pray please? Yeah, right? We figure it out. In the last 6 months, I began to more often read prayers that were written by someone else. Somebody else's prayers. And there's a specific prayer that I've begun to read. I've shared it with the staff. It's called the Welcoming Prayer. I learned the welcoming prayer last summer. I was at annual conference. There was a speaker there who presented it. And so I pray and read the welcoming prayer 1 to 3 times a day, 4 to 5 days a week. I try to pray it very often. And I read this prayer like it's my prayer. I want to engage with this prayer because it has taught me to expect God to work graciously in my life. To have an expectation of it. I'm not going to read you the whole prayer, but I want to read you a part of the prayer that I most identify with, that most kind of hits me where I need it. And the prayer says this. It says, I let go of my desire for security. I let go of my desire for approval. I let go of my desire for control. And I open to the love and presence of God and the healing action and grace within. That God is working that in me each day. Now, here's what I love about that prayer, and here's why I want to come into contact with that prayer, at least once a day, if not more. Security, approval, and control are imposter gifts that the world offers you. Those are imposter gifts that the world wants to give you. And they're imposter gifts because they mimic the perfect provision of God's grace for your life. They mimic the feeling of that. And so for me personally, I have a deep desire for security. I've had it my whole life. It's been with me since I was a child. I haven't been able to shake it. I like the feeling of money in the bank. In my checking account, in my savings account, I like to look at that and go, okay, that feels good. I feel good about that. I like the feeling, I like to open the refrigerator and it's full. I like to open the pantry and the pantry is full. And you can talk to my wife, she's visiting our daughter today, but it's a weird thing that my wife oftentimes points out to me, that I have this constant need to kind of see all those things full, right? I did not grow up United Methodist. I became a United Methodist youth director. One of the things that I probably heard that I liked more than I recognized is I liked the thought of having a job, being a pastor in a church where they say, we will always have a church for you. It's guaranteed. I have what's called guaranteed appointment. As long as I'm an elder in the United Methodist Church, they will always find a place for me to serve. I'll never have a gap in my life, unless I want it, where I'm without that job. And I probably also like the fact that in United Methodism, they said, hey, and when you retire, you'll have a nice pension that the denomination is going to provide you with all your years of service, right? So if I'm really honest with you all this morning, and I'm being really honest with you all this morning, I long for security. And I have my whole life. Because on the inside, for some reason, I fear that someday I might not have what I need to have. I didn't grow up in a home like that. I didn't grow up in a home where my parents provided. I think everything that I needed. I don't know where it came from, but it's in me. And so this prayer reminds me that all of those things that I've eagerly desired all my life, those things that seem to comfort me in a weird way, that those things are all imposter gifts. They're imposter gift. There's only one thing that I really need, and that is the graciousness of God. And to know that I'm going to come into contact with the graciousness of God tomorrow. God alone is my sufficiency because His grace will meet me in every new day. So I need to ask you a question, since I'm up here confessing. What are the imposter gifts that you long for more than the grace of God? The imposter gifts that you have raced after your whole life more than the all-sufficient grace of God. Is it security? Did you just resonate with me as I shared all that? Were you like, you know what, now that I think about it, yeah, I've had a little bit of that too. Is it approval from others? Have you spent your whole life wanting the approval of your mother and father or a relative? And every decision you make, you think, well, would they approve? Or these new people, will they approve? Is it a desire for control? When things feel out of your control, when people might tell you what they want you to do or need you to do, and you feel this sense of panic and a desire to control the situation, is it control for you? This Advent, I want to challenge you to let go of your desire with me of security and approval and control. Because those are imposter gifts that your childhood somehow made you long for. Made all of us long for. You are an adult now, except for those of you that are kids. The rest of us are all adults now. And so what you hopefully know at this point is that the greatest power is not found in anything that we can amass around ourselves. It's not in any gift that can be placed under the tree or given to you. The greatest power is the thing that God provides us within ourselves. The grace that He offers to each of us and trusting in that grace to meet us in each new day. That's the greatest power. Nothing you can amass around yourself will overcome your need for that thing. And so as you prepare your heart for receiving communion this morning, I want you to expect to receive something. Expect your Father to meet you at this kneeling rail. Expect to receive a gift of grace in the bread and the cup that He has graciously provided to His family today. Expect this thing that we receive in communion to be the first of many gifts of grace that you're going to receive all week long, up to the day of Christmas and beyond Christmas. Expect that you will leave the rail no longer desiring the imposter gifts that this world promised a disappointed child. Instead, be built up in the strength of the Lord as an adult, knowing that God the Father always comes through on His promises. To Zechariah, God's going to come through on His promise. I don't need to prove this to you. He doesn't need to prove it to us. He always comes through. Gifts of grace are waiting for you. They're waiting for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for having the children present. Childhood's tough. It's tough. That's why we do kids ministry, because it's tough. And so we want to give kids something that's going to go with them for a lifetime. And Lord, sometimes we brought the baggage with us. We couldn't help it. We brought the baggage with us. It made us desire things that were imposter gifts for the only thing that we need is your grace. So Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who has not received that grace, Lord, would you fill them in this moment? Would you fill them with the Holy Spirit and let them experience a first initial token of what you desire to provide them each day? Lord, if anyone has not received, allow them to open their hearts to receive your gift this morning of grace, that it might empower us through our lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for our communion hymn.